discuss things and take a closer look helps you find modifications that are helpful and more meaningful in the work that you're doing. So hopefully the discussion that we've had will kind of lead them into some improvements in what they've already created here and do the best they can. I mean, we're pretty much caught between a rock and a hard place here. I mean, you know, we have to do something.
Yep. Yeah.
If we had to make a choice between Buckland, Shelburne, and Coleraine, I wouldn't be able to do it without coming to you and saying, well, how do we make this decision? You know, because I don't know enough about those two schools. I just heard that they're about the same distance. The class sizes are about the same. What else is it that we need to know? And we would rely on you to give us that information.
Do we need a vote on this one, Hilma? You want us to vote? All right. Can I have a motion?
The finished survey will be sent through townwide email and also a link on the town website.
Sure. That's the motion I'm looking for, please.
So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thanks, guys. Let us know what else we need. We'll look for the survey.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And fill it in on time.
Good luck.
Don't let it sit on your countertop.
Good luck.
And be gentle with your comments. Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
You're welcome.
Okay, team. Whew. Holy moly. Okay. Back to the schedule. Holy moly. Ooh.
What did you say about it being an easy night?
I don't know what I was thinking.
You were dreaming.
All right, COVID-19, municipal protocol concerns, protocol review, office relocation. I'm pretty much just going to turn this over to Hilma, and it's going to be just a brief update. Give us the important pieces of where we are with office relocation. First step was town coordinator, town clerk, and police.
Town clerk and town coordinator, and with help, with expert assistance, are packing boxes, and the highway department is going to magically appear on Thursday morning and to help move all that heavy furniture and boxes to basically get those two offices relocated over to Jacobs Road. Part of the timing of it all, and I had no idea ahead of time, but our central server has come into Northeast IT. I got an email this morning that technician Sean would like to come tomorrow afternoon to install the central server. So he will be here doing that, which will be great. In terms of the police department, I have not talked to John this week to get an update from him. However, he was going to reach out to the CGIS office again. His main thing is to get a date out of them of when they can move the CGIS equipment, because he's got to have that hooked up as well. And I guess that's about it for phase one. Things are moving along.
Sue, any questions for Hilma?
Nope.
Brian, any questions? No. And I don't have any. Thanks, Hilma. The other update is Nick, fire department. So Nick's been sick for a couple days now, but the bulk of what needed to be moved from for the EOC and the fire department that's happened per the letter we received from Randy. For the date, I can't remember, it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And they're waiting on radio techs to move radios. That's one of the pieces that the fire department's waiting on. We do have some feedback on the possibility of a generator. We'll slide that in right now, Hilma. Hilma knows more on that than I do. Mm-hmm. I only got a little snippet today from Hilma from the Chiefs, one that's been a used generator. Go ahead, Hilma. I don't want to speak out of turn.
Yeah. Basically, John has been well, both John and Nick have been researching a wide variety of possibilities for obtaining a generator for Jacobs Road. John found a 100 kilowatt generator used out in, it was either Michigan or Wisconsin. But it kind of, between John and Nick, they kind of calculated that the number of hours that the generator has been used has just been the like test time, the weekly test time that it gets run over, you know, the number of years old it is. You know, all the pictures and everything, it looks good. It John has talked to the owner, that's a private company, and has verified that it operates with no problem. The cost of the generator and shipping to get it here is around $18,000 or $18,500, which they both felt was like an excellent price for the type of generator and the size of generator. It is propane. However, they both Nick and John felt that for this price that it was well worth going with propane.
Question, and so we have 6,000 and change left still in our generator grant, right?
We have 6,500, yes. I have not gotten an answer back. I emailed the second time today. I emailed, what can I say, that the CARES Act official out of DOI. The first time I emailed him, he said he would have to consult with other people to see if this could be covered under we have remaining of our CARES Act money. I had not heard back. I emailed him again today, asking if he'd gotten an answer, to try to find, you know, sources of money that we could use to purchase this generator.
Okay. Brian, questions, thoughts?
I talked to John about the generator, so I knew all of that. And it sounded like something that was in really good shape with very little use, 400 hours, I think, which is basically starting up one day a week for some time. But I think we should pursue it. Okay. I think we're talking about $57,000 for a smaller unit, diesel unit. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, this would be an awful lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. Propane is, you know, it's clean and quiet. Or the machine is quiet.
Sorry, I got phone in the background and I can't reach it. Sue, comments on the generator?
No, I agree with Brian. It sounds like something we have to pursue. And in the meantime, try to figure out how we are going to come up with the funds for it. This is my first experience with scrounging for money for something that we didn't plan on.
Okay. So Hilma, we'll keep working on. Is there actually photos and information on that generator, like written?
Yes, there is. And I can get that from John.
Okay.
Get it out to the three of you.
Okay.
Do we know what year the generator is?
He didn't say.
I don't remember offhand. I know it's in the information. I don't know if Brian remembers that.
No, he didn't mention what year it was. I had a feeling it was several years old, but hardly used.
How much time do we have before it gets sold out from underneath us?
Yeah.
We have no idea of knowing because it's kind of, you know, first come, first serve. So.
Mm-hmm. So if I had that paperwork, I'd be happy to have one or two of my electricians just take a look at that sell generators and install them on my job sites.
Okay.
Just for a quick look. And then if the select board wants to make a motion to move forward with the purchase of the generator after I proceed with that step, because we're not going to meet again for 2 weeks, if you guys are comfortable making that motion and voting that in, you know, based on what I find out after getting feedback from a couple people. Up to you guys, what you're thinking.
Well, what about the appropriation to make the purchase? I mean, don't we have to decide where that money comes from? So We'd have to put a caveat on the motion to that it was subject to approval, I guess,
under the CARES Act. Yeah. So that's, you know, how do we have CARES money left?
We do have some CARES money left that without looking at the financial reports, I think would cover the balance.
Okay.
And I guess if you're going to make a motion and then also have it include, like if the balance of our CARES money can't be used, but ARPA funds to use them, and that's something, again, I would want to get clarification on.
So either way, we can either, I always hate suggesting this, but if we have to have another quick meeting to vote when we have that information, if everybody's more comfortable, we could, I think waiting 2 weeks, if we had the finance, the ability to purchase it, and it checks out and it's a good for the price, it would be a shame to lose it for that size.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So waiting 2 weeks, I don't think sounds good to me. And I just found out about this today. So I don't know how long it's been sitting there already and how many people have called on it.
So. I think John mentioned it to me a week ago. So he came by to get a quarterly update signed on the grant paperwork. So he mentioned that he and Nick had been looking at this, but he didn't have any paperwork with him at the time. So
what do we take as the next step in order to at least start the process?
We could post, we could post a quick meeting on, no, we can't. What's today? Tuesday. Friday, a call-in meeting real quick and get information prior to that. I don't know if either of you are available.
I don't think I will be.
Yeah, we have a Conservation Commission meeting on Friday. That would be at 6:00. So if it was before 6:00, that would be possible. And if it was okay with Sue, if we just made the decision based on the information that we have, then we could move on that.
That would be okay with me.
So I could post. I don't have anything other. This is going to sound funny. I don't have anything other than my job on Friday.
Me neither. Plus the Conservation Commission hearing.
This sounds so funny, but yeah, I could do something at any time. And we may want to do it during the day to allow for time for action afterwards.
Yeah, that would be fine with me. Yeah. As long as it's before 6:00.
Do you think you will get that you can get an answer on the CARES or ARPA money, Hilma, by Friday?
I will certainly.
You don't have anything else going on.
No, I don't have anything else going on. I will do my best for sure.
Well, and as long as if we post and we don't have the information, we can cancel the meeting, but we should probably post and do our best. And if I can get that information sent to me right off tomorrow morning, I'm going to see an electrician tomorrow. So if I have that with me, that would be great. I have a 1:00 meeting with Paul Mary, who's done work here. So
in the meantime, can we ask John to contact these people and tell them we're definitely interested in it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have him do that tomorrow, maybe we can at least
buy till Friday.
Have him put it on hold for us.
Yep.
Okay.
So like 1:00 meeting Friday.
That's fine. Yeah.
Does that work for you, Helma?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. All right.
One of the benefits of this particular generator would be that it would provide enough power that the school building could become a rescue, or what do you call it?
Emergency
shelter. Shelter. It has, a septic system that you could depend on in an emergency. We did have that situation one time when we had an ice storm that knocked out power to the town for, it was over 2 weeks for some people. And, if you don't have an alternate heat source and need electricity to run it, then you're in real trouble. So this would give us the possibility of having a significant emergency shelter.
That's great. Okay. So that's fire department, EOC, town office relocation. The financial team, we still need to talk about that a little bit. We won't delve into that a lot tonight because we still have other items on the agenda and it is getting later. But we have some drawings to kind of take a look at from Brian. Thank you for working on that, those office drawings. And we can, I think, maybe pick that up at the next meeting, kind of talk a little bit more about that. Helma, I think, well, one piece of information I can provide after looking at those drawings was I think that you're right, Brian, we probably need to reach out to the actual individuals. I think probably the assessors are going to need a larger space and other people need smaller spaces, but we probably need to get more feedback from each one of them to see how many items they have that have to go.
Yeah, I had no idea what people were going to need.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was looking at one of the options you had, though, that had like the six stations. And I was actually thinking that if those two back stations, like towards the windows, if that became one space, that could become like the assessor space. They could fit the maps and everything back there. Yeah. And there's still those other desks for the accountant and the treasurer and tax collector. And it probably works, quite honestly. So, but we can maybe put that on the agenda for the next meeting and follow up on that a little bit more. And maybe Helma, if we could reach out to each one of those individuals and just kind of get a little more feedback about how much space they need, what items they have that have to fit in.
Okay.
I guess under municipal protocols, hub access, that just got brought up tonight. We haven't talked about that. Am I correct, Helma? I mean, the actual learning, the internet hub technically closed. Is that correct?
Well, it's
not manned. I guess
it's not manned and it doesn't have regular hours. There have been some individuals who have either, like, say, contacted me, contacted Pam or Pat McGann, and made arrangements to use the internet for a period of time, you know, and it's just been worked out so that, you know, there was somebody there, like usually Tim, but, you know, somebody there that could give them access. And yeah, they would just sit at a table somewhere and use the Wi-Fi. And I don't see any reason why that can't continue.
I think it can, but only to some like limit of, right? We can't just let people in at all hours of the night, any day. There has to be somebody has to be there. It has to, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the people that have used the Wi-Fi since the hub monitoring closed last June, you know, they've all contacted somebody and made arrangements and, you know, definitely scheduled the time. Mm-hmm. And that's worked well there, you know. And I think, I'm sure there's people still coming, sitting outside, parking in their cars, picking up the Wi-Fi like they do in the center, and that's fine. Yeah.
Sue, thoughts on that?
No, I think that it sounds to me like things have been working okay, and it's not really a need. And hopefully some of the people who have been using it will be getting their Wi-Fi very soon.
Hopefully.
And it won't need it anymore.
Right? Yeah. Brian, anything on that?
It seems that Helma will be there every day soon. And that as long as she's there, that people could come and use it if they wanted to. And we should just make some accommodation. And if somebody, like they were teaching a class or something at night, they'd have to make a special accommodation or a special request. And that has happened in the past, but that's rare. Most people just want to do
it. Is it something that we need to have just a table set up someplace that's really convenient for people to go to?
Yeah, I think so.
In the open space or in Tim's empty room right now until something's used in there?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
And then there's
not going to be a huge number of people. It's mostly people that are either in the FSA 3 that haven't got hooked up yet, or people in Mohawk Estates, you know. So I can't see there being a huge management problem.
Right. And yeah, I think that we have to just remember COVID protocol, right? People need to. And probably there should be a sign in for that.
Yeah.
you know, Hilma, you've got it, whatever you're, however you want to keep it, but you and Tim.
Okay.
Well, there's a desk there already with,
yeah,
you can just put the sign and stuff in and just set up a couple of tables in the open space, and they can, chances are you only have one person at a time anyway, but you might, just in case you have two, you might set up two people.
Right, right.
And that's, and that would just be the go-to space when they want to be in there.
Right. So I don't know if it makes sense. Is there a place, Hilma, to put that on the website, just if somebody has the need to contact you?
Sure.
Okay.
It would be nice if people could just, they just knew that they could come in and use it if they needed to and not have to bother Hilma all the time. If the, she's there in the building and there's a place set up for somebody to go and they sign in, I don't see why.
Well, technically, I think the building's still considered locked at this point, even though we're using it. So they'd have to, they need access.
Well, yeah, but if they come to the door. Well,
oh, yeah. They got to let her know.
They come to the door and they buzz and they get let in, then they can go to the table and not have to spend a whole lot of time arranging things. Because Hilma does have a lot of stuff to do besides making arrangements.
Correct. Agree. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else on the COVID-19 line item on the agenda? Sue?
No.
Brian?
No.
Hilma?
No.
Okay.
All set.
All right.
Moving along
to other business. All right. So we've already done the first item, the endorsement. That's all set. The next three kind of pony up together. We've got the appointment policy. We've got the board and committee resignations and the board and committee appointments. So in our mail, in part one, are pieces and parts of all of that. So we've discussed the want to have a appointment policy prior to moving forward with too many more appointments. I think that we were all in agreement with that. And so Sue has nicely included, sent out for us for our review and conversation, some ideas for that policy. I don't know, Sue, you wanna talk to it a little bit?
No.
Okay. You want me to say, Brian, do you have questions to ask Sue about it?
I just took this from, I looked up three or four on the internet and just kind of took some of the language and ideas from them. And as I put in my note, I left a couple things out that were common in some of the other ones. Language like you couldn't be on more than one board. And in a town of 700 people, that's in 100 boards. You can't. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
So I didn't put that in. And there was some language about it having to be a resident, and I didn't put that in because our state law says it can be a non-resident if we want to appoint somebody. I just kind of pulled from different places.
I thought you did a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it. I thought it was good. Brian, thoughts, comments?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's good to have some a policy for a procedure for making appointments. And I know we have, you know, a number of appointments that need to be made. And I guess, I don't know if we can sort of whittle this down that we can move forward, you know, saying perhaps that we will post these post vacant appointments and that, you know, we'll ask for letters of interest. I know there's a lot more detail to this, which we're going to have to probably hammer out over time, but I'll look for your thoughts. Can we make a decision tonight about a policy that may be only for the next week or two, you know, or do we want to, because I think it might take another meeting to kind of refine this so that we have a policy that we can vote on.
I am happy with what Sue proposed for this policy, actually. And I agree. I think if in theory, we agree with what's here and it's maybe just some wordsmithing or making sure it's clear, you know, points are clear. I think that if in theory, we agree with the concept behind this,
yes,
then we could ask Hilma and with Sue, because she kind of put this together, maybe just to put it, you know, put it on our letter on the Heath, you know, set it up properly, take it out of a suggestion and put it into a policy, and then we can vote on it at the next meeting. But if we all agree with this in theory, I think that we could move forward with the steps that it says we're supposed to be doing. I agree with that, if that makes sense.
Right, that was my concern.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have to wait 2 more weeks for the wordsmithing, vote on it, and then start the process. I think we can, if we all agree with this, which I do, Sue obviously liked it or she wouldn't have sent it. And if Ryan, you're comfortable with it, I think we can say that in theory, these are the steps that we would take to appoint members to non-elected boards, committees, commissions, ad hoc committees, et cetera. And that at the next meeting, we will actually vote and make it official based on the final wording. But I do think we can move forward as the full group is comfortable on taking the steps, which Helma, just, I don't look at the website a lot other than what I need to. Where would these postings go? Where would we post?
Well, now post the policy or post
openings?
Openings. I would post it in the news column.
Okay.
Because that's where I've been posting like job openings.
Yeah. Okay. And I think in here it said that we will have the list, the actual appointment list posted also, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think that would go, like, I think a list of all select board appointments, which it is not there, but should go on the select board page.
Okay.
As a document, like the finished policy, appointment policy should go as a document.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Agree with that. Sue, does that make sense too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brian?
Yep.
Okay, so we can put those are the things that I think I was thinking of, like those clarifications need to get put in there just so that when we put it into policy, it's clear to the next people, anyone who reads it, right? Okay, good job, Sue.
Thank you.
I like it. So ponied up with that, as I mentioned, we have resignations and then we have actual appointments. So resignations first. So we have a handful of them, I think. And one that I just kind of, I think I forgot about. I must have. Huh. So we have from the Heath Cultural Council, we have Harry Hallman. So, and this is written to the Heath Select Board. So is there a motion to accept with regrets? And, you know, just to remember, just in general, if we don't want to, we want further information, that's an option as well for any resignation. So I'd need a motion to accept the resignation from the Heath Cultural Council from Harry Hallman, effective immediately.
So move.
Second.
Further discussion. All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. The next one is Bob Bruin from the Heath Zoning Board of Appeals and the Fire Department Liaison. And that was to the select board as well, because it came to our email.
I have a question. What is the fire department liaison? Liaison between what and what? I mean, the fire department and what?
The fire department liaison position was created a handful of years back when there were some internal issues with the fire department between the chief and the fire department members. And in conversations on how to work that out, it was determined at the time to create a position called this liaison. And it was, and Bob was recommended and agreed to take on the position as a person who was familiar with the fire department because he was a member. And it was an opportunity for people, the fire department members, to be able to go and perhaps speak to somebody if they felt they couldn't go directly to the chief. And those communications could then maybe happen as a group with another person there. And it was somebody who had, like I said, the experience of the fire department. And I don't think, unless somebody knows something other than I don't believe that that issue has happened for years now. I don't know that that position's been used for that reason. So I don't even know that that position's to continue. That's a question that we should have when we talk about appointment after we accept his resignation.
Well, I move we accept his resignation with regret. Both of us.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. And then the next one is not, I just don't remember Lyra's resignation from Parks and Rec, but that just is me just spacing out, I'm sure. So we had an official resignation. We've already done that.
She didn't want to be reappointed.
Okie dokie. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's why I don't remember it as such. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So those, I didn't miss any other resignations, right? That's everything for resignation.
That's correct.
Okay. So then appointments, we have, so we'll start, let's go back to, so Heath Zoning Board of Appeals. So the one we were just talking about with Bob Gruen. So Heath Zoning Board of Appeals, I don't remember off guard, right off the top of my head, who's on that right now.
Well, it's now down to three members of a five-seat board.
Okay.
Pam is on it. And I do not remember off the top of my head the other two.
Dennis Peters was on it.
He did not want to get reappointed.
Oh, okay.
June.
Allison Nichols.
Okay. Alan Nichols.
Alice.
Oh, Alice. That's right.
And Alice. Right.
Okay. So would be one of our first ones that we put on notification that we're looking for two members for the Heath Zoning Board of Appeals, and we would send a note to the Heath Zoning Board of Appeal chair. I don't know who that is right now.
Nobody.
Okay, nobody. So we would send them a note and ask if they have recommendations. Per our policy that we're going to set up, we would take those steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's that. Fire department liaison, Brian, what's your feeling on that? Do we need that position anymore?
I think that was a kind of temporary move to get through a difficult period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could leave it unfilled. I mean, we could leave it there as a potential appointment, but I hope we don't need that position again.
Right. I think I agree. I don't see a real reason for it at this point in time. Okay. Sue, any thoughts on that?
No, when I saw it, it didn't make any sense to me. I couldn't even, why I asked the question. I couldn't figure out what the purpose of it was.
Yeah, I had context at the time. Okay, Harry Hallman resigned from Heath Cultural Council. We have the note from Barbara as chair in follow-up from our last meeting when we discussed Heath Cultural Council. We have a number of open positions available there, and Noy Holland is interested in taking one of those seats. And so are we good to make an appointment at this point in time for one of those seats, Brian?
I think these should be subject to the policy that we just adopted. If I have to vote on this, I will vote no.
Sue?
I would like to see, I would like to see us try to get some other people. I'm a little bit worried that Noya is only going to be around for maybe a year, which means that there's no time for her to get. We need some people who are going to stay on for a while. I do think, if I remember right, when I looked on the website, I think that Barbara had written out, I think it was on this position, she had kind of written out some ideas about what would be the qualifications of a good candidate. Am I remembering that right, Barbara? Did you write that out on the website?
Yes, wasn't just for one candidate. It was for
any candidate.
No, well, the only thing for any candidate would be computer literacy, but there's a list of areas of knowledge or interest that would add something to our group.
Mm-hmm. Because one of the other things I thought about is it would be really nice on a cultural council to have, if we could dig one up someplace, as a parent who would be looking at things from the vision of something for our children and what might be good for them. So that would be another thing that would be nice to find. The fact that you can have up to 22 members to me is absolutely bizarre. I think when you get above five, it's hard to operate. But
go ahead, Barbara.
I agree with you, Sue. We don't want 22. Those are just the rules in Massachusetts.
I know, it's crazy.
Our goal is seven. Mm-hmm. We are now four. And In November, we will become three because one of our members is leaving Heath. And we are down to, we're no longer in compliance with the state of Massachusetts. We're supposed to have five members. Our goal is seven in order to have a buffer so that if people disappear, we have somebody to keep us in compliance. And it also is a way of better distributing skill sets, having more skill sets to contribute. I would very much like you to consider Noy's appointment because we are closing applications. Massachusetts closing applications. I believe it's the day after tomorrow, whatever, October 15th. And then we need to begin reviewing and preparing to grant money. And it's not good to be doing that out of compliance. I've already notified our liaison at the state that we are out of compliance because it's important to be transparent about it. You know, if we get caught trying to cheat, we'll be in more trouble. And he's being supportive, but saying we need five. We need to get there as soon as possible in order to be properly evaluating these grants. So we're right in the busiest part of our season. My phone is ringing off the wall with people that need help with the new system, trying to get in their grants. And I just, if Noy were appointed, she has worked in cultural council previously. She could hit the ground running. She does not need to train in. She could be immediately helpful. And then we still will have at least another two, if not three seats that will need to be filled. And we would love help with beating the bushes and finding a good variety of additional people to fill out our council.
Did we get an actual letter for herself?
No.
No. So,
no, I submitted her qualifications. I recommended, you know, it wasn't just me. We actually had a vote in our Heath Cultural Council meeting. And we discussed her qualifications and we voted to recommend her. And then I sent a letter requesting her appointment.
Right.
And I listed her qualifications.
So one of the bullets on this policy is that we need to receive a letter from the resident requesting a letter to the select board requesting to be appointed to or show interest in being appointed to a committee. So I think we should, if we're going to follow this policy, if that's what we've agreed to do, we should be asking Noy to do that.
Have they moved into town? Have they moved back to town yet?
Yes, they closed on their house. I don't know, a week or two ago.
Sue, thoughts?
Yeah, if Noy can get us a letter, and beat the bushes and see if we can find three or four people who are interested in being on the committee. I think it's already been on the website for a week
and on Facebook page, and we've all been talking to people too. It's just been really challenging to find volunteers.
It is very challenging.
Brian, anything further?
I guess I'm not real thrilled about appointing Noy Holland in the light of the past history that we've had. So I'm not going to support it.
I've got some, I'd like to see the letter of interest myself before any further step is taken. That's my feeling. So Helma, can you please reach out, or Barbara, somebody have, if Noy's really interested, have her send us a note.
I will contact you.
Okay, thank you. And Parks and Rec, so the same concept. So we need to, I guess, clarify, well, once we get the policy voted in 2 weeks, the policy will be sent out to all boards, committees, everybody. So everybody understands the concept behind how people get appointed to these committees, boards, ad hocs, whatever, the whole list that we have. And we need to clarify that with Parks and Rec sooner than later, because I don't think we're ready to make these appointments until we go through the process that we just spelled out in the policy that we're going to be voting in. That's the way I'm looking at this. Sue, is you looking at it differently? So I'm suggesting that we need to put the open positions on the website for Parks and Rec, just like we are for others, prior to appointment of the recommended members from the actual group.
Okay.
Brian, any thoughts?
No, I agree with that.
Okay. So Helma, can we also put the two openings on Parks and Rec, and please respond back to Kate and let her know how we're handling this? And thank her for the recommendation.
I'm wondering if the policy that's being proposed, if it would be worth giving it to a couple of these, like the Parks and Rec and the Cultural Council, to have them go through the process of making their appointments based on the policy to see if there are areas that turn out to turn up as questions that we need to clarify that we haven't seen ourselves. Did I make that clear?
Yeah.
We know that we want to go through. We know we want to go through and tweak this. But maybe having a couple of different groups try to operate from that standpoint would help us find out where the holes are and in our questions that might be there.
Sure. Brian?
I agree.
Yeah.
And then just ask them for any feedback on whether we've made the procedure clear.
It's a good idea. I agree. We will take that step as well. All right. Did I cover everything? Appointment, resignations? I think yes. Anything else in that category, Sue?
No.
Brian?
I don't think so.
Thelma, anything else you need from us on that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. I lost my... All right. ARPA funding, I think we're tabling that till the next meeting, Thelma, right? Because we need to get some numbers pulled together.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's a table. Unless you have specific questions, Sue, we don't have the numbers ready, so we're just putting it off for 2 weeks. Yeah. No numbers yet. Brian, anything on ARPA?
Nothing on ARPA.
And then the firehouse, I've already given the update. That was the kind of EOC firehouse conversation we had and the slash generator update. So we're all covered with that. Unless you have any other questions, Sue.
I just want to make sure we keep it on the front burner. That this is a really good time, I think, to get our intent to get our interest known by the state in trying to access that bond money.
Yeah.
They're seen as the reports that I've given to you from that rural roundtable show right now, whether it will pay off or not, I don't know, but there seems to be quite a bit of energy in really getting some attention to the rural towns and communities. And the stuff that we have on the fire station right now with all of the other issues that have been going on just seem like it's the perfect time to try to push it.
Agree.
I don't know what the next steps are for that, but I just want to I'm going to keep bringing it up.
No, the next step has to happen in the next 2 weeks. And Helma's going to pound me. And she and I are going to come up with a letter for review at the next meeting that we can send to the reps and a cover letter to, and then include all the others. And I also asked for a letter from Tim, fire chief, police chief, and fire association. So we got to get on all those people and get those letters pulled together.
Okay.
Put the package together. We've got, a set of drawings that we can use and we need to submit to our reps ASAP.
Yep.
That's our big stars next to that one, Helma, in 2 weeks. The next item is Axon Properties Crucial. I mean, Helma gave us an update. She still hasn't heard back from them. I don't really know what that means. I don't know that they've dropped out of interest or not. We'll wait and see if they respond to her latest email. Hilltown Theater lease. Because of scheduling, Helma and I and Jonathan were going to meet to kind of talk about, just do a follow-up on the previous conversation the select board had about the lease and about our interest in maintaining control over the gym and the open area cafeteria. And just scheduling didn't work it out, but Helma's been emailing back and forth with Jonathan. I think he still has interest. There still needs to be conversation. And I think we're going to try... Oh, we were going to try to meet this week, but Jonathan's gone. So we're going to have to reschedule to next week. Right, Helma?
That's correct.
Yeah. So Helma and I and Jonathan will meet next week and I'll bring everybody up to speed on that after that meeting.
I still feel that we should be dealing with the board and not just Jonathan. You know, that this is an agreement that could last longer. You know, this entity could last longer. Yep. And I mean, we've dealt with Jonathan for years, and, you know, I wasn't real happy with the response that he sent on the email. You know, he doesn't seem to have an appreciation for the fact that the town owns the building, and I feel like that needs to be before the entire board and say, you know, we're perfectly happy to work something out here, but the town owns the building, the town, you know, needs to maintain the right to use it at certain times, and that everyone has to have a schedule. I mean, the town, we have our town meeting schedules,
right.
And you know, if you have another group that wants to use a gym for something, that they work out a schedule, and that that all fits in with what Jonathan wants to do too, and that he just doesn't pop in whenever he wants to, you know, and that's not unreasonable to ask that.
Correct. So my recommendation was that I think that the fact that he still has interest, that I think we should have him back for at our next meeting as an appointment.
With the board or?
With his board.
Yeah. With the board.
Yeah. Yeah. That was going to be my intention of that conversation. If the three of us talk and very clearly say we want, and if it's not in 2 weeks, if that doesn't work, then in 4 weeks or whatever it is, but for him to get the full group back together like we did before.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. No, we're on the same page. I agree with you. Sue?
Sounds good.
You good? Okay. Office assistant job description. Did everybody have a chance to look at that?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments? So we had the current job description, the updated job, proposed job description, and job classification. We already have a appropriated wage for this year. That is $15.31 an hour. That's what we was voted in at ATM. And that, just that rating alone, puts us somewhere between a level 3 and a level 4 in that FYI to everybody. And Helma, well, I'll just ask, Sue, any questions? Helma put this together. Any questions, thoughts on the newly proposed position description?
I question one word as an office assistant and under general purpose. It says to provide administrative support. And it didn't seem to me that administrative was the proper term there, or even that it belonged there. It's to provide support and weekly assistance to the town coordinator and select board, right? It's not an administrative,
that's not
intended to be an administrative job.
Yeah, it's just the classification of the work, I think.
That's where the English language gets.
Yeah.
Administration can either mean the head honchos that call the shots and make the decisions, or it could be administrative as in administrative assistant, which is a fancy term for secretary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in this case, I mean, I don't care if it's left in or not. If you want it struck out, I think that I took directly from the original job description. I'm not sure, or I may have taken it from one of the other job descriptions I referred to, because I got about 8 or 10 of them.
Previous one for Heath says provide assistance.
Okay, so I probably got this from the job description of another town. I mean, if you want to strike the word administrative, that's fine with me.
I don't think it needs to be in there, because I think that the further words are clear, support and weekly assistance.
Okay.
Brian?
You could say office support. Because then it's not like financial support or something like
right.
that.
Right. And it's tied back into the title, office
yeah.
assistant.
Yeah.
Does that work, Sue?
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. And my other question was, and maybe it's kind of embedded in the essential duties and responsibility, but it was my impression that there was the hope that this person would get some, would have over time, would get enough training and to be able to sub if you were out. Was that part of that? The original discussion about this was before I was on the board. So.
Yeah.
From my point of view, that, yeah, I would like to know that the person can answer, you know, look at emails and know enough to be able to pass, maybe answer the phone or, you know, a couple things like that. I wouldn't think that they'd be able to make decisions, but they'd at least be able to communicate with us.
I mean, I guess to me, if you look at everything, all the responsibilities in the second sentence, or second and third sentence, then they're able to sub for me.
Right.
They're able to sub for the town coordinator.
Okay.
That's what I need to do to fill in when the coordinator's out.
All right. Those are my two.
Should we say that though, Helma?
That would be a bigger time commitment if it should happen.
Well, that's where is it?
There was something about flexibility in hours.
With additional hours required occasionally.
Yeah.
in the beginning. Oh, yeah. Well, and it might be something that, yeah, okay, well, it may need more hours that week. Like say, if you take a week off, maybe it's four and then they only work an hour, something like that, right? You'd have to maybe talk, be flexible that way, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, if you want a specific sentence in there that says, I don't know, ability to the substitute, I mean, I don't know exactly how it would be worded, but ability to substitute for the town coordinator or when the town coordinator is absent or something like that.
How about availability? Or maybe that'd be under special requirements, availability to sub for the town coordinator when in her absence, in their absence.
Okay. Okay.
Did you have other items, Sue?
Nope.
Brian?
Under this, well, we still have the green communities update.
No, but other things on the office assistant first. Back on that. Because okay. I think we're going to try to vote this in, right, Hilma?
Sure.
Right.
If we can, if we're close.
If you can.
The only thing I wasn't able to do is the grading. So do we need to grade it, right, before we vote it in anyways?
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's put it on. Please, everybody, grade it for next meeting so we can do a final vote. Did you? What'd you come up with?
I don't know. I didn't add it up, but 85.
I was just doing it quick as we were talking.
70. But it looks like about 230.
Yeah. Where's that? I don't have the whole.
I don't have.
So 230 is like
grade five.
Grade five. What was this? What's the range for a five, Hilma? Do you have that?
I do. Five starts at 1571.
I mean, I think at this point for the position for this year, I was comfortable saying a four so that we're in, what's the middle of a four or what's the grade? What's the range for a four?
A four goes from 1496 to 1997 with 1662 as the point.
Yeah. So that, and what was three while you have that?
Three was 1425 to 1892. With 1584 as the mid.
Now I went somewhat on. I mean, I'm like on a mid five level, but under contact with others, I said it was 20 because it was in the job description that the employee may have performance of duties may require contact with the public.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it a 20. I mean, I suppose it could be 10. I don't know that they're going to really have a lot of.
It's kind of like. I guess as I envision it, as they're assisting the town coordinator when the coordinator is present in the office, they will have next to no contact with the public.
Okay. And see, and that's my vision of it too. But when I read the job description, that was not the impression I got I got the impression there could be a little more than that.
Yeah. That's where it's kind of difficult unless you want everything spelled out of,
yeah,
and the town coordinator's there, you're not going to be talking with the public. However, when you're substituting for the town coordinator, then you are going to be talking to the public.
That's so, right.
is this position capable of covering your position when you're on vacation? Or?
Covering the basics.
Okay, so in that in case, terms, that would... That would argue for having contact with the public.
Yes. When the coordinator's out, they would have contact with the public. When the coordinator's in, they probably will very seldom have contact with the public.
And confidentiality, I scored at the top because they, even in filing, you have access to confidential information.
Right. The tough thing is that I think it is that there's a couple of sentences in there, like the confidential material, also the completing the online conflict of interest law. I picked those up from what other towns had written. We don't have those in our job descriptions as a whole. This is the first time I put those in. Because I saw it in many other towns
I think that's good. Yeah.
In
fact, that, it made me think about when we did the one for the senior coordinator. I don't think we put confidentiality in there, and I thought, oh, we should have put that in.
Yeah.
Right. But in a sense, it's like how much that. I mean, I don't have an answer to this, but it's like how much should that, if it's now needs to be spelled out and should be spelled out in most, if not all of our job descriptions.
It should.
How much is it actually adding to the classification rating? Or is it?
Or does the classification rating need to change?
Or does the classification rating need to change?
So we're putting this off for 2 weeks?
Well, I think that for me, I believe it's a level four. I believed that before. I just went through the numbers again. I believe it's a level four. That's my gut feeling. But we can put it off and everybody can kind of think about that a little bit more.
Well, the rate's already set. We can't go over that anyway. So
yeah.
No, but it could be a level three if you think it's less, because that's still it falls in the upper, you know, the mid range. It's the lower range of a level four. It's the mid range of a level three. This was my gut feeling, but so let's table it till next time for an actual vote. Let's try to clean up the level a little bit so we're all comfortable.
There's a certain range of knowledge and responsibility that the town coordinator has that I think we need to think about how that would apply to this person, especially if they're acting on behalf of the town coordinator during a leave period, whether it's a vacation or a sick day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like what happens if, the town council calls and we're working on something that's not, that is a confidential issue. You know, how does that get handled? Maybe this is stuff that has to be worked out between the town coordinator and this person, and maybe with us involved too.
Mm-hmm.
And also the town coordinator is the personnel officer for the town. And this person may get questions about personnel policy issues. You know, they may come up during this, say 2 weeks or whatever, 3 weeks of a vacation period. And what would we do? Would we tell that person you have to direct that to the select board chair? Anyway, there are things like that I think we need to consider.
I agree. And I think my feeling was that items of that level, and I guess we need to qualify it in writing, but I wasn't thinking that this person would make those type of decisions, and that those type of items would still go if the town coordinator was not available. Those type of issues would go to the select board, at least
somehow
the chair.
We have to
put that in writing.
Yeah.
My thought was more, and this is just my thought when we were talking about it, was more check the emails on a certain period of time, be able to realize that these emails need to get right to the chair immediately so that they can be dealt with and put on an agenda, just that type of a thing. Mm-hmm. And while they're in, whatever, answer the phone, check for messages, when, you know, not to be there all the time necessarily, but basically what a member of the select board was doing in the past, right? Checking, going in, check the mail, get the mail, make sure people get mail is sent out to the different department heads, that type of thing. But yeah, I think we need to maybe talk about that further. And maybe Hilma, that's something you could work on, right? Like a list of what do you think that person would really should be responsible for in the town coordinator's absence. Maybe if you start with that list, then we can review it as a group.
Okay.
That's a good point, Brian. Okay, and we'll look at that level again a little bit, make sure we've got the right. Great. All right, here. And the next is Green Community. So that's you, Brian.
I've been going back and forth with Roger Harris and Carson Ovett. Roger Harris is the engineer who works with RISE, who's doing the HVAC design work for the community hall. They're proposing to do the construction work as well. Expediter. That's it.
Yeah.
Their RISE Engineering is an expediter who can do both the design and the construction. So RISE will be doing this job, and they needed a person who they need to find local contractors who could do sheet metal work and carpentry. And the carpentry was the most problematic for Roger because that's just not something they do. And I suggested Carson Ovett, and they've been talking back and forth, but Carson had questions about what his scope of work is. So I tried to get Roger to give me a list of items that he wants Carson to take care of. So he was not ready to do that yet before he meets with a sheet metal guy. And so anyway, I coordinated that with Roger and Carson. So they're going to have a meeting as soon as the sheet metal guy can get there. They'll all meet together and then figure out what the scope of work for the carpentry is on the job.
So, and just so I understand, at the end of the day, this is for us to get a full proposal of the costs, right? Or
yeah,
that's the whole
like point. A bid. Essentially, it's yeah. A bid.
Okay. And, okay.
It has to be under $100,000 in order for the expediter process to be legal.
Okay. All right.
That's written into the state law.
Okay. Sue, any questions for Brian?
No.
Other green communities things, Brian?
That's it for now. I mean, it's very frustrating how long this all takes, but you got to cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
Yeah. No, I get it. I do have a question. Where do we stand, and maybe it's just kind of on a holding pattern, but the lighting replacement at the school building, Jacobs Road.
Well, that we would have to make an application the same way we did for the community hall. We put together a project and proposed that and had to get it through the Department of Energy. And, you know, the building, it took some time, but we got the building approved to be on the energy reduction plan that the town had. It wasn't included originally because people thought that we're going to sell the building and there was no need to do that, but that's not how things worked out. So then we needed to go back and ask that building be included so that mm-hmm. we could do any kind of energy improvements there that were necessary. So we have to spend all, there's not the, we had what do you call it? There's these people that they send out to do assessments of the deficiencies in the place and an audit. They sent a group of people to do an audit. They did a mechanical audit of all the mechanical systems at the school related to energy. And they did what they call it a weatherization audit, but it's basically an audit of the building envelope, which includes the, you know, roof and insulation mm-hmm. and weather sealing and windows and doors. And the work that they proposed was mostly air sealing work.
Mm-hmm.
And some also replacing, we never finished the cellulose insulation in the attic. So that was included in there too. And that was around, I'm just recalling, it was around $55,000 worth of work they came up with. And that's not, we don't have enough money in the designation grant to cover both of those projects. So that would be something that came on the next round of projects. It's called a competitive grant round. And if, you know, we've gone down the road so far with the community hall project, you know, that we have to play, we have to ride this out to see where do we end up with in terms of the cost of all of this work and what mm-hmm. do we have left to spend on other things so we could propose a project. But I had gone to DOE or Department of Energy and asked if we could do just the insulation project at the school because I knew we had enough money to do that. And they said, no, you have to do, you know, because they came up with a project, which was all of these air sealing and insulation items. And they wanted that complete project done, you know, and they didn't want to split it up. So I was just hoping that we would have a price from Roger that we would give us an idea how much this was going to cost and how much we had left, because we can't apply for the competitive grant until we spend the money in this grant. So basically that's, you know, that's where we are at this point. And mm-hmm. we would apply for the it was also recommended that, you know, an HVAC system is expensive and it has a long payback period, even though we know we need it. We need to fix what's the system at the town hall or community hall, that the payback period is pretty long on that. So the recommendation was that project be moved, or that be a higher priority, because you're less likely to get approved on a competitive grant proposal for a project like that. So anyway, that's where we are. Oh, Hilma has some.
Yeah, Hilma.
Well, I was just wondering about what happened with replacing all the lighting at Jacobs Road.
Well, that's the question that.
That's what I asked.
Yeah, that would be another project. That was never under Green Communities. That was a project that was proposed we're trying to get I shouldn't say that. There was an audit done, an audit of all the lighting in town, and it did include Jacobs Road. And we were trying to find a way that we could move on that more quickly. So we got the tech school involved to see if we could get the price down.
Right.
It would either come under the Green Communities or we would just do it, you know, depending on the cost. It turned out that we couldn't do it at the time we got the estimate from the tech school, because the school was not included in the town energy reduction plan, which was approved by Department of Energy. So
can I add something here, please?
Yeah.
This is Pam. So last year, when the school was included, we went back to the tech school in hopes of getting at least the lighting project done. And the issue was COVID then, and trying to figure out how you'd get a work crew up here to do it. And the Todd Weed retired, and his replacement, whose name is escaping me right now, kept putting us off, partly because he was swamped, partly because COVID was difficult, partly because he was having a new baby and taking leave. But when he came back, he said that he really couldn't schedule us because he wasn't feeling like the project was going to be so great for his students because it was really repetitive. I feel like we should go back and try again if we want, I mean, if there's money for it, and at least ask to have the outside done, because those lights are expensive to run.
Okay.
And we haven't spoken to him since May or June of last year. Yeah. And it would be worth going back again and saying, we still have this project. What's the possibility of at least getting some of it covered?
Well, the point was, in the beginning, we could not get this done under Green Communities because the school building was not included in the energy reduction plan. And now we have it approved. We can propose that as a project. It would be a lot more expensive if we just had to go out through a normal electrical contractor and done either an expediter or, you know, competitive bidding process. So there's certainly...
The difference between the cost of doing the LEC without the tech school was something like $50,000 to $14,000. I mean, it was huge.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. You know, and we might consider that we want to just do part of it, like the outdoor lights, just out of maintenance budget, or I don't know if our ARPA would cover something like that. But, you know, just to kind of reduce the monthly electrical bills there.
Right. I mean, I would think that now that the building is being used, that light switchover has got to be a huge, I mean, I can't imagine that that's not right up there with one of the items that should be done to reduce the footprint of that building.
Yeah. And we can, once we spend all the money from the green, from the designation grant, we can apply for another project to use the balance of it, or we can apply for, you know, once we have to spend it, but we'll figure something out, and they'll help us with that. If, you know, they'll help us work that needs to be done with what we have left. And then we can apply for a competitive grant for a bigger project, like doing all the air sealing. Maybe there's HVAC. I had proposed and got, I mean, I shouldn't say I had, we as the energy committee, advisory committee, proposed that half of the building be, half the building's heating be covered by a heat pump system of some sort. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a couple different kinds. There's the mini split type, and then there's the VFRs, or you know, they're ducted systems. And but anyway, that was in our, that's in our proposal for of projects that could be done at that, at the school. So lighting and all the insulation and air sealing work and HVAC upgrades are all in there as potential projects.
Okay. All right.
I even have cost estimates. I have cost estimates on HVAC or on heat pump system for that.
Okay. All right. I just didn't want to, I know we haven't really talked about it. I didn't want to lose sight of that building, especially as it's getting used more. Obviously the costs to use it are going to go up. They are going up. That's, I mean, that's a given. So I think we, before we get too deep into the weeds of the winter, we just have to make sure we kind of look at that and stay on top of it, I think.
I think Roger is really close to completing his proposal.
Okay. So, but that, even if the proposal, so say the proposal comes in and the number's decent, looks like we're going to move forward with it. It's not something that's going to happen overnight.
No.
Is this like spring work? Is it a spring?
They could do this. They could do it in the winter. A lot of it's inside work, and they have to cut some louvers in, and but that's, you know, not that big a deal. The
so if we were looking at if that is the case, we'd be, if we're going to do work in the building, would a potential way of saving money through the winter be to be closing, to winterizing that building only enough for them to work in it?
I don't really know. I mean, the heating system is really a jerry-rig thing. The same duct feeds the upper floor and the lower floor. Those enclosures on the sides of the building, there's a hole with a register on top and one on the bottom. So it's very difficult to heat only the, you know, you have to keep the lower floor heated because of the nurse's office and the kitchen and, you know, the plumbing.
Would the nurse's office stay in there through renovation, or would they be using the a different space like at Jacobs during the that period of time?
I think we have better opportunities over at Jacobs Road for that, but we haven't decided anything yet. And I'm just thinking, practically speaking, if her office is still there, there has to be a plan if we move it. I mean,
I'm just trying to think through some of that whole, the whole piece of how that all works, I guess. We've kind of done updates, but we haven't really talked into the weeds on.
I got a flu shot on Saturday, and I asked her about it, and she said, well, she doesn't really turn the heat up in the wintertime, that the heat is kept around, I don't know, 55 or something, or 60, and then she just turns her heater on in the office to make it habitable. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, I don't know, certainly if they're doing demolition work, you're not going to have any nurses' hours. You know, but I have a feeling once the demo work is done and the new duct work is put in, that she would be able to keep, if she's there, she would be able to continue.
Okay.
But then we have there's a whole range of things with the senior center and programs and, you know, the nurse and all that we haven't really addressed yet. We've just done the administrative offices and, you know, the financial team we're talking about now and the fire. That's another step.
Okay. Yeah. So can we just plan to revisit the conversation, I guess, when we get the proposal? Do you think, Brian, that it's going to come within what we have remaining in the available to us in that grant?
I believe so. Roger knows. I mean, he knows what the score is. And, so if it doesn't, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I don't know what the next step is.
Yeah.
So... But okay. I mean, we're operating under previous estimates, you know, but the real proof is in the one that Roger comes up with.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Town coordinator report. Hilma, is there anything on there that we haven't already discussed?
Not a whole lot, other than I guess the big disappointing news is that the whole thing about the railroad washout that occurred on July 16th and the repair that came to a little over $38,000. Jeff and I found out that towns in Massachusetts are not eligible for reimbursement from FEMA because the state as a whole evidently has a minimum threshold that has to be met in order for the state to qualify for FEMA reimbursement. And the state as a whole did not reach that threshold.
I had a question about that estimate of the 38,000.
Yep.
Did that include town labor in the estimate, or was that just materials and hired labor? Because that
I think it included town labor.
So if you take out the town labor, that makes it a little less of a burden
over what's budgeted. Yeah.
Because we already appropriated that money.
Right.
Yes, but we're still looking at over $30,000.
Yeah.
I do know that there is a town administrator in, I want to say the town of Chester, who had sent out an email asking other towns, like, if they incurred repair expenses, that she wanted to hear from all of us. I sent in his amount. She was going to send emails out to her senator and state senator and representative to see if there was any way to get other funding. That town that she's from incurred over $900,000 worth of repair. And that was just to kind of patch roads to make them passable. So, you know, we're hurting at 30,000, but other towns are hurting more.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. I think I've covered like the stuff with Crucial Company and Axon office relocation. Big thanks to Sue for all the help that she's given. Let's see, while we were meeting tonight, there was a message that went out from Code Red regarding the flu vaccine clinic to be held this Saturday at Mohawk. Tri-Wire bankruptcy, we have received a couple more documents about the proceedings and liquidating of their assets. And the plan is now that they'll go through their bankruptcy process and they will be sold. The Tri-Wire company will be sold to a different corporation who will then assume ownership and assume all the unfinished contracts and work and all that stuff. So I'm sure we have more information to come in the near future.
Okay, thanks, Hilma. Mail. A lot of it we've gone over. In part one, we have the resignations that we've dealt with, appointments. So the first item that we have not looked at is an email that we were copied on, or sent in regards to the Heath ski equipment. What do we need to do on this, Hilma?
What Tim said was that these requests have come in past years, you know, not last year because they weren't doing the program, but other years they have asking to borrow the equipment, and the town has always loaned the ski equipment. So basically, if you agree with it, vote to allow them to borrow the equipment.
Sue, thoughts or motion?
Is that under our jurisdiction or is it supposed to be under Parks and Rec?
No, it's town-owned equipment.
Okay. Seems like it's worked before, so I move that we allow Mohawk to borrow our ski equipment.
Is this cross-country stuff? Or
yeah. Yes.
I certainly support that. I would say don't bring it back, you know, just it's just in the way.
All right, we'll second it then.
Yeah.
Give me a second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Then we've got the email from Sue on the appointment policy. We've gone over that. The from Barbara about the appointment to the cultural committee. We have the email we've alluded to tonight already, the elementary school selection from a resident, and the STAM Western Mass inadequate infrastructure support. Anything from there that you'd like further conversation about? Sue?
I had thought that maybe we should do a reply on the issue around the elementary school selection, because I could see there were some misunderstandings there, but it sounds like Barbara has already had a conversation.
Yeah, I think
so. And so I feel like it's been taken care of.
Brian, anything?
I have nothing on that.
Part one. Okay, part two. The first one, the senior center in Shelburne. Hilma, did we pass this on, or where did this come from?
Okay, director of the Buckland Shelburne Ashfield Senior Center, and basically saying they can't provide services for other towns. And
so we just send this off to our
pass the original on to our Council on Aging.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And then we have the quarterly report from the Franklin County Regional Housing and Redevelopment Authority for our review. We have the October broadband call and information about from Mass Municipal Association upcoming annual meeting and trade show. Anything else to discuss further in part two, Sue?
No.
Brian?
No.
3A is the big exciting letter on the top of 3A, right? That's the big. So we had a bad $30,000, but then we have a good $735,000, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a good one. And then we have, so that's Mass Infrastructure Program. We have the Martha Thurber, the sample letter support. We've already taken care of that. Sue's update, follow-up on the Rural Roundtable. We have the correspondence back and forth about the lease from John Diamond. We have Heath Historical Commission sponsorship of an event. And then we have some emails back and forth between Hilma and Council on Crucial. And they're looking at the land that we still have not heard back from Crucial on. But anything else to follow up on 3A? Brian?
No.
Sue?
No.
3B? The October update, waste management, the paper shredding event poster, which is October 30th, the municipal light plant manager report for July through September, the quarterly report, information about the forest climate resilience program webinar, and rural rescue plan news for your reading pleasure. Anything to follow up on there, Sue?
No.
Brian? And then the last one, part four, is what we reviewed with the Municipal Light Board earlier on the electronics, the proposals for the hub. So that's already been dealt with. Email. Anything else that needs our action? Hilma?
I don't think so.
Okay. So the next meeting in 2 weeks? No, Friday, right? We're going to post for that just in case for the generator. 1:00. And then 2 weeks from tonight, I think, for the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep the COVID on, obviously. Appointment policy, ARPA, firehouse. I guess we get to put Crucial on there in case we hear from them. We'll be, you know, if we do. Mm-hmm. Possibly Hilltown Theater lease. So.
Mm-hmm.
Office assistant, job description, and green community. Same thing.
And also the cultural council appointments, hopefully.
Yeah, any appointments maybe, right? Parks and Rec?
Correct, yes.
Zoning Board?
Yep.
It'd be 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So all those possible appointments, we got to shake some trees and find some people, find some leaves willing to join us on these. Anything else?
No, that's enough.
Everybody's done. So if there's nothing else, we can take
a move. We adjourn.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sue, aye.
Rob and I. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Rob,
yeah.
Before you leave, John emailed me all the details on the generator and I forwarded them to you.
Okay. I will check them out and I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.